Well, Nancy, thank you for taking a few minutes to talk about Chester and Gertrude at War. We're now to the point where we're actually putting this on the air, but you've been working on this for quite a while.
Oh, yeah. It's been a major part of my life for the last 2 years, but I've worked on it probably, it's been at least 10 years ago that I initially started working on the project. So, but the last 2 years, it's kind of been all-consuming.
Why did you do this?
Just the interest in the story. It was one that, of course, that I had heard from my childhood, the story about Chester Schultz being killed 4 days before the end of the war and the family not finding anything out for 4 months. That just kind of intrigued me. And then when I found the letters, I just found them extremely interesting and enjoyed transcribing them and putting them down so that all of my siblings and my cousins would have a record of the story as well. And it just kind of grew from there.
Talk a little bit about what's in the letters.
The letters are kind of just a day-to-day or ordinary life back and forth between Chester and his mom. The letters from Chester tell about what's going on at camp and training, and then when he goes to France, a little bit about what's going on and what he's seen, what he's experiencing there. And the letters from his mom back to him are keeping him up to date on what's going on at home, just kind of the day-to-day life that's going on. It's kind of a slice of life of that time era.
At the end of World War I, as we mentioned, Chester Schultz was killed 4 days before the end of the war, but the family was not advised. The family didn't know for a long time.
No, it took 4 months for them to actually find out what had happened. They had a lot of back and forth information where someone would say, well, he was wounded, and someone would say, no, he wasn't. Some would say he was killed, and somebody would say, no, he wasn't. So it was just a time of great distress and worry to wonder what his fate was, because nobody could find a record of where he was or what had happened to him. So they wrote to congressmen, they wrote to the Red Cross, they wrote to everybody they could think of.
And the fact that his mother, Gertrude Schultz, was the first president of the War Mothers of America and chaired the first national convention in Evansville in September of 1918 really meant that this whole time played out in the public spotlight.
Right. It was in the newspaper quite a bit. And in fact, when they did find out what happened to him, it was headline news. It was on the very front page and took up a good portion of that front page of the news. So it played out kind of in an open forum. It wasn't just a family tragedy. It was, you know, the entire city of Evansville, I guess, was paying attention to finding out what happened to Chester because of the War Mothers.
One of the things that I have noticed in this whole process, because I've been following this story for about 10
years. A long time, yes.
But one of the things that really stands out to me about it is that we have this story about James Bethel Gresham, the first U.S. casualty in World War I, or one of the first. That's what we talk about on patriotic holidays in relation to World War I. And that's pretty much, in terms of common knowledge, all we know about World War I. But yet, there was so much more, including the contributions that your family made.
In World War I, the War Mothers group that was local here formed a national chapter, and so they had a national convention. The very first national convention for War Mothers was held here in Evansville, and my great-grandmother was the acting president for that convention. So, you know, there were several things going on, and a lot of other people that were involved in the war here in Evansville.
Well, in the War Mothers Convention, if it had been something similar had happened today, it would be everywhere.
It would be, national news. And I'm sure it did make the news. But, you know, it's 100 years ago and those things get forgotten.
But she got recognition from...
She did. She had a telegram at the convention from President Wilson. And then also there was a telegram from General John Pershing. So... It was a very well-known thing, and they had quite a few people from all, I think, 22 different states that were here in Evansville. So it was a big event. I think originally I've heard that they were hoping that Wilson himself was actually supposed to come to the convention, but it worked out at the last minute. He was not able to attend, and they got the telegram.
And it was interesting, too, that we noted the date that General Pershing sent the telegram to Gertrude, specifically to Gertrude, as the acting president of the War Mothers, that the same day he sent that was the day he assumed command of the Meuse-Argonne sector of northern France as commander of the American Expeditionary Force. Right. So that was the day he assumed command of the troops, including Chester Schultz.
Right. That was the beginning of the end of the war and the beginning of Chester's march toward his death.
So fast forward to 2018, a century later, and you went to France.
It was an amazing, amazing trip. It was just once-in-a-lifetime event. We did try to follow his path the best as possible, and it was just a wonderful experience. And I think we honored Chester very well for that with that trip.
In what way?
Well, of course, the big thing was putting the plaque. The last day we got to install a plaque on the monument where his name had been left off. For 100 years, the monument went without his name, and we got to put that plaque in place, and that was just unbelievable. It was just so exciting. It worked out so wonderfully that we actually got to be there and to watch it get installed, and I got to help screw the last screws in place, so it was just amazing.
And that, well, I'll be in the series. I'll be in the publications, the radio and television documentaries, actually, that we're doing on this will be that last scene of Nancy Hastings screwing in those screws on the plaque.
You always say I shoved him aside to do that. I say I just tapped him on the shoulder.
I asked you a question after that was on there, and we looked at that plaque, and it's pretty obvious that his name has been added there because of where it's at.
Yes.
And I said, when people wonder why that's there, what would you say to them?
It would be to honor Chester Schultz, to rectify an error that was made 100 years ago, to put him there along with everybody else that he was in that battle with that was killed and wounded and missing in action, that names had been on there. It would just give him the honor that he deserved.